Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us from now until 1 o'clock, talking the big headlines across the league. Also, we'll preview week 6 across the NFL. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We are excellent. Let's start with last night's game, and let's start with Eli Manning. Do you think the Giants regret not taking a quarterback right now?
Right now, I'm sure they do. I watched Eli come here with the Giants, and he was great. He was tremendous, and all the media that I talked to said that's the best he threw the ball since the Super Bowl, last Super Bowl, and that all of a sudden he seemed to have snapped out of his funk, and in the last two games he's been terrible. A lot of last night, Nate Solder, who they paid a lot of money for, got beat by Michael Bennett around the edge, forced to fumble like the 2-yard line, easy touchdown. He threw an interception. He lost another fumble. And it's not like he's got a lot of time in the pocket to throw, but some of his decisions are bad, which you wouldn't expect from a guy his age and with his experience. So everybody in the media is writing that it's time to move on. They've got a rookie, Kyle Letta, that they could play, but I'm doubting, you know, last year, Ben McAdoo benched Eli for one game and ended his streak of consecutive games. Then they put him back in. There's a lot of, you know, good vibes about Eli because he won 2 Super Bowls, and I don't think he's anywhere near all the problem that they got, and it starts with their offensive line, which they have a new left tackle, a new guard, both of whom were supposed to be big upgrades.
Still a complicated position for sure. But a great story at the Ringer this week about how it's easier than ever to have success as a quarterback based on the rule changes and based on the way things are schemed, you know, that there's some read option plays now. Last year that the completion percentage on read option plays was 78%. Well, the best completion percentage anybody's ever had in a season is 72%. Coaches are able to put quarterbacks in position where they can, an average guy can throw with more accuracy than the best quarterbacks of all time. Obviously still hard, but even Eli Manning before last night, I looked at his numbers. He's had a bad season. His numbers look great for an average quarterback. What do you think about the state of the ability to play quarterback well?
I agree with that. Well, it's like college football. You get a lot of misreads on players, not just quarterbacks, but offensive linemen and receivers because of the way the college game is all about throwing. People are worried the NFL is going to turn into Big 12, which is almost basketball scores. And although it's been tempered a little bit, like last night's Texas Tech TCU game, because right now they're working in new quarterbacks. But, you know, there's still the pressure from the pass rushers, and defenses will adjust. They always do. But right now it's a great time to play quarterback in the NFL, and there's a lot of good older ones, and there's a lot of good young ones, and we're going to see both on display Sunday night.
John, is there a bad team from last year that you consider a surprise this year?
Well, Cincinnati, I had no idea the Bengals were going to lead the division. And Cleveland, of course, is a humongous surprise, both in the AFC North. You know, a good team that I picked to win the division, it's 1-4, is Atlanta. And I didn't think much of the AFC West anyway, had no idea Kansas City was going to be that good. You know, the NFC West is terrible. NFC North, the Bears, another huge surprise. There are always teams that get off to hot starts and then they fade after October. You know, the adage, it's what you do in December, November, not September and October. And a couple of these teams will fade. You know, the Dolphins were terrible last year, 6-10. They started off 3-0. I never I never would buy into them, and they've lost their last two and have a tough home game coming up. So, you know, people always say parity, P-A-R-I-T-Y, sometimes it's P-A-R-O-D-Y. And Bill O'Brien says it's an 8-8 league, meaning everybody's capable of finishing 8-8. Injuries, you know, clutch plays, luck separate the teams.
Is there a first-year head coach with a new team this year? I'll go through the records in a moment. That you feel like could be one and done based on expectation and outcome so far, where they're trending. Matt Nagy is 3-1. Mike Vrabel's 3-2. No issues there. Matt Patricia is at 2-3 on the season with his team. Frank Reich 1-4. John Gruden 1-4. Steve Wilks 1-4. Pat Shurmur 1-5.
I never thought Pat Shurmur was a head coaching candidate after watching his first go round. And watching him with the media last night, he let them get to him. You know, coaches tell players, you know, forget about the noise. Focus on what goes on inside the dressing room. And in other words, don't let people get to you. And then it's clear that the media is getting to you. And the players see that and they go, well, you know, it's getting to him. You know, and he's telling us don't let it get to us. I don't think that any of these guys will be one and done. Steve Wilks at Arizona has the worst offense, and they just won in San Francisco. And there's a lot of coaches who are going to be fired. I think Vance Joseph's right up there at the top, and because there was a lot of talk that Elway was going to fire him after 1 year. They made a lot of moves in free agency, and right now the Broncos are terrible. And Tampa finishes in last place. I think we all agree Dirk Cutter's gone. And so there will be a lot of changes, but I don't think it'll be a first-year coach. Right now, Vrabel and Nagy are doing the best job by far.
Hey, John, it's one thing to lose in year one. It's another thing to look dysfunctional. Are the Giants starting to lean that direction with what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yes, Chad, they are. And I think I mentioned this Tuesday, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating it, but in Albert Breer's Monday morning quarterback, and I don't know if he was talking about Beckham or Antonio Brown or in general, he said he does radio, I think, in New England during the week with Troy Brown, longtime Patriot receiver. And Brown has always told him money always makes you more of who you are. In other words, if you're a good guy, it's going to make you a better guy. And if you're a bad guy, it's going to make you a worse guy. And Odell Beckham Jr. did everything right in the offseason, minded his P's and Q's, no controversy. That shows he can do it if he wants to. Then he got his big bucks, and now he's generating all kind of controversy. And it's fine if he's producing, and he's not. And it looks like the Giants are on the verge of imploding.
What's your sense of the big Gruden backers and what they think? Obviously, so much of America thought the guy was magic, and he was the guy everybody had to have. And the early indications are, you know, the Khalil Mack move was bad. Then he bemoans not having a pass rusher after dumping him. It's going to take some time, obviously, but what do you think of the track that he's on?
When you give a coach total control like he has, he's not going to like a lot of the players there because he didn't bring them in. You know, there's talk he may decide to part ways with Derek Carr after another year so he can get his own quarterback in there. So the thing about giving a coach total power, I assume Reggie McKenzie will be out after this year and Gruden will have a general manager he likes, maybe Bruce Allen, the Redskins president. They were together in Oakland and Tampa. And I didn't think much of the entire offseason of the Raiders, and I think y'all agreed. You know, they didn't do anything that impressed people, and they haven't done it early. They lost a couple of close games, and some people think Gruden's being too honest about his players, like he's still in the broadcast booth. But maybe they'll turn it around. But I see them as a team, as they get close to the trading deadline, that they could be active and trying to stockpile draft choices. There already is talk that their safety, Carl Joseph, could go to Atlanta, where the Falcons lost both starting safeties, and their defense is awful. I'm curious on the deadline of October 30th if we're going to have a flurry of trades like we did last year, which was highly unusual.
John, Titans hosting the Ravens, that's certainly it brings up some old memories and old rivalry between these two teams, and two teams this year that are coming off bad losses in week five.
Jim Wyatt did a great story yesterday about Eddie George's candidacy for Hall of Fame, and Ray Lewis praised the heck out of Eddie. And you think about the collisions, about, I think it was the interception in Nashville, and then Eddie coming out in a sling and running over Ray Lewis in Baltimore. That loss in Nashville, to me, after the great defensive game the Titans played, that's got to be one of the toughest losses the Titans have ever had. The defense was just fantastic. I think Al Del Greco had a bad game, but I was there, and I remember how physical it was. And maybe with Mike Vrabel back, you know, Mike is a defensive-oriented coach, it's all about being physical. You know, they play every game close, and I think that helps over the course of the season. The Ravens coming off a very tough loss at Cleveland. I picked Cleveland in that game, and I picked Titans in this game. And I won't be surprised if Baltimore loses again, because I just have a hard time buying into Flacco this season turning another corner after a terrible 2017.
John, we all have proximity bias because, well, we've been around Eddie George. We saw him play here. Titans fans love Eddie George. He was a great contributor and the contributor to the early years of this franchise here in Nashville. But you see all these great candidates that come through every year that have to be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Where do you think his chances stand in terms of actually making the Hall of Fame, given the great competition out there against him?
Well, first of all, he needs to be a finalist, and that would be where he gets discussed in the room. Paul would lead the charge. I would contribute as well, as I'm sure others would. The key is to get people in there and tell them why his average per carry was below four. Tell them about all those eight-man fronts. They have statistics today that can tell you exactly how many eight-man fronts, broken tackles, his durability, his toughness. You know, never. He didn't miss a game, did he, with the Titans?
Not until late. He had a very big streak to start his career before his toe, I think, ultimately messed with him.
And I think the style that they played, which was predominantly run, that hurt his average per carry. But when anybody gets 10,000 yards, they should be considered. And Eddie was a good blocker. He's a good receiver. And so anyway, I'm hoping that he becomes a finalist. I put him on my list. I turned that list in last week. And if he is, it'll give Paul and me and some others a chance to talk about it.
John McClain with us. You could join him, 615-737-1045, our number, 615-737-1045. NFC South battle, John, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. You mentioned the Falcons. You're surprised with their 1-4 start. You know, Matt Ryan plays well on the home turf for Atlanta. I just don't know if the injuries that have piled up for Atlanta will allow them to compete throughout the course of this season.
Well, their defense is awful, primarily because of injuries. They've been scoring a lot of points. They didn't last week. Devontae Freeman, their top back's been out. And, you know, you lose your two safeties. Like, the Texans have lost three corners, two starters in 5 weeks, and they've been able to overcome that in the last couple of games. So the Falcons, I'm not sure why they don't have better ones. And I'm guessing, you know, there's safeties out there to be had. There's talk about Arizona wanting to trade a safety, Deion Buchanan, and their linebacker, Son Reddick, former number one pick, because they play a different style defense. And so there's players that might be had if you don't overpay, but that division is so hard right now. And I think Atlanta's going to win it. I think Tampa, even though they got an explosive offense with Jameis Winston, who knows how he's going to play over the rest of the season.
I want to stay in the NFC South, John. So New Orleans just whipped up on Washington this past week. Now the 3-1 Panthers go to Washington to take on the Redskins. What do you think about the Panthers right now? What do you think about that matchup as Washington tries to bounce back?
I picked Carolina to win the game. I think they're good. Can't wait to see when they play New Orleans. You know, in that game Monday night, Drew Brees had as many touchdowns as incompletions, three. That's just unheard of. He's playing, it looks like Brees is playing at 39 as well or better than he ever has. And I'm amazed that Cam Newton can keep playing the style he plays for the Panthers and stay healthy. But they're going to be right in there with the Saints, and I think the Falcons, they've already faded or dropped off. Maybe they'll be one of those teams that bounces back in the second half, but I don't see it. I think they're going to be bad, and they're going to get a high draft choice.
Carolina's second road game in a row after playing three of the first four at home, but I'm with you, John. I think they have an edge against the Redskins, who are coming on that short week. Big matchup in the AFC North. Cincinnati at 4-1, they're hosting the 2-2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. And Cincinnati, while they were not good on the ground in the first half, they were able to get Joe Mixon going in the fourth quarter, and that led to the big comeback that they pulled last week.
They don't get intimidated by the Steelers, especially this year. Steelers are not intimidating anybody. Now, Pittsburgh's defense, especially the secondary, played a whole lot better Sunday. And that bodes well for this game against Cincinnati. And Andy Dalton's been playing really, really well, but I think there's a lot of people out there, me included, are expecting him all of a sudden to come back down to earth where Andy Dalton usually resides. I picked the Bengals to win the game and to stay in first place in the AFC North. And I love watching those teams play because, as you guys know, it gets nasty.
Yes. Let's get your AFC South picks. Houston, they're hosting Buffalo.
Yeah, there's a chance Deshaun Watson might not play. I don't think it matters. Last time we saw Brandon Whedon here, he was 2-1, two games, had three touchdown passes, one rushing, 107 rating, didn't turn it over. But that was 2015. So the Bills are the lowest scoring team in the league. Josh Allen, two touchdown passes, five interceptions. And yet they beat the Titans. They won at Minnesota. They found a way to pull two upsets. So I think that one-point victory over the Titans should have gotten the Texans players' attention about they better not be looking past Buffalo to Jacksonville.
You taking the Jets at home against the Colts?
I did. The Colts got so many injuries. You know, Andrew Luck, how they went to New Orleans and to Washington and won like 24-6. Is beyond me, but their injury list is huge, and at some point, Luck's got to stop throwing the ball 60 times a game. So I'm picking the Jets reluctantly.
And Jacksonville on the road at Dallas. Jacksonville trying to get their fourth win.
It's hard for people down here to pull for the hated Cowboys, but they have to open at Jacksonville. Loses, I don't think they're going to lose. Cowboys are 2-0 at home. They got a lot of issues. They don't have receivers. You know, Dak Prescott is criticized, but it's not his fault. He doesn't have any talent. So the Texans totally shut down Ezekiel Elliott, and they had nothing left. And so I'm going to pick the Jaguars.
John, thank you as always, and we will review Week 6 with you on Tuesday.
Can't wait, guys. Have a good time this weekend.